Did you hit play or record?
I hit record.
You hit record?
Hit the button.
No, hit the button. No, hit the button. What the
It is not intended for children. We used to just like sing different skin songs.
We didn't even have that. I like that. This project is extremely dangerous. It's because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock. Woo. You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord, Carol the Cat, the Giddy Geeker, and Tim the Technician.
Bonjour. Time is a strict progression of cause to effect. From a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly,
tiny-wimey. And now, damn right they shot first, the hosts of Guardians of the Geekery. We're the host! Oh my god!
We're the hostess with the mostest.
Episode 89. Jessica, thank you for spending the night in our garage.
Yeah.
And we're in the same clothes. We appreciate you coming back for all this.
Did you do a psychic reading on Field? Shut up, Field.
Throwback joke. Oh my god. We never get tired of talking about Field.
Before we start on the geeky news, where can people find... What's your website? Just... Free plug.
YourSpiritualPathfinder.com.
And for our RPG friends, it's not that kind of Pathfinder. So. But and if you didn't hear her on episode 88, you need to go back and listen to that after you listen to this so you can find out more.
Yeah,
that's right.
Get an example. But
yes.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Okay.
My pleasure.
So what do we start with?
How about the dance show.
Okay.
Yeah, start there.
Let's start there. So you think you can jam?
That's it. Yeah.
The Next Generation. We get down to the final 10.
It's my favorite.
I got the final 10 kids. You know what?
It's cute. It's a cute show.
I watch but it's movie. Heartbreaking. I mean, telling an 8 or a 9 or a 10-year-old kid, that's it. It's the end of the line. You let me down. I've got to let you go.
I was really surprised how brutal it was compared to like Dancing with the Stars, where they kind of coddle the celebrities and they're like, "Oh, we decided what's that? We decided not to cut anybody today." And here they're just like, "You three are cut. Get your porridge and hit the fucking road."
They never
and it's like, no, but it's just like to me, that's how it feels. I'm like, oh my gosh,
this is making me interested in this show weirdly.
Yeah. And there were a couple of kids that were highlighted from the very beginning, and they were just like spotlighted because they were so cute and adorable and good at what the style of dance that they did.
Yeah.
And some of them, they got cut, and it was like, and along with this, so and so got cut. You're like, what? We didn't see him dance. We don't know why. You know, and it was just like, so it'll be interesting. So obviously, with the 4th of July holiday this week, they didn't do the live show, but it will be the live show next week. And that's really where I think it's going to be kind of brutal, because those kids are dancing live. There's no redos. Yeah. There's no careful editing and cutting to protect them.
Those are live tears.
Yeah, if they screw up, they screw up. Well, and some of the people that they picked, I really like... The age range is 8 to 13. Well, a 13-year-old is a totally different person than an 8-year-old.
Uh-huh.
Let's just be really clear. Yeah. And a couple of them are 8-year-olds. And I'm just concerned. So, you know, yeah. I just don't want this to be in the same vein as whatever that Abby Lee dance company.
Dance Mom or whatever.
Dance Moms. I mean, one of the girls from Dance Moms is on as a judge. But it's like, she shouldn't be a judge. She's 16. But anyway, whatever. So it's really interesting. I'm interested to see what the first live is. It may get to that point where it's too painful for me to watch. I don't want to see kids crying every week.
Mm.
That's just kids and puppies. You can't do that to me. So cats, whatever.
Cats are fine.
Well, cats don't cry.
No, dogs, they strike back.
Exactly. So they can defend themselves. I'm not worried about cats as much as I worry about dogs.
Hey, I've got something children related, Jessica. I'm just gonna put you on the spot completely.
Oh no.
You had something really awesome with your daughter. Would you mind just sharing that with us?
At Carnegie Hall?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
Oh my god.
This is a major thing to me. I mean,
Yeah,
she made it to Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm, yep. She sang with about 6 different choirs in New York City, Carnegie Hall. It was amazing. My mom and I flew up.
That's awesome.
To go see her. Mm-hmm. An amazing experience. Have you met? You haven't met her, have you? No.
When she was a little one, maybe?
For our listeners here, yeah. Starn Ford and Jessica have known each other since they were, before they were double digits. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Me.
I was double digits, yeah. But
well,
low.
Just.
Low.
The low, yeah. The low double digits.
Yeah, so like 30-something years. Uh-huh. But they've reconnected.
That's crazy.
In Ohio was where you guys met, and now you're both living in North Carolina.
Like all the other Ohioans and New Yorkers. Yeah,
the guitar of the snow. And
exactly.
Like,
right, well, North Carolina is kind of that mix where you're close enough to Virginia or whatever. You can experience all four seasons, but you're close enough to Florida. You don't have to shuttle too much. So.
And that was totally Aaron and I's, that my sister's thing. We were shuttled between Ohio and Florida. So, like, for 4 years, we'd be in a snowstorm. For 4 years, we had a pool in an ocean. And then it was like, getting comfortable? Let's get back up to Toledo. It's like, what happened? And then North Carolina, we were like, oh, this is kind of in between there. Yeah, this looks like a place to settle. Yeah.
Blizzard of 78, my friend. I lived through the blizzard of 78.
Us too, yeah.
Well, speaking of winter, winter has come to Game of Thrones.
Winter is finally
nice
fucking
transition.
Here.
That's right.
That shit's over, right?
Yeah, it is.
It's
the season
done.
Has ended.
The season's done.
The season is over.
It has 15
for the throne
more episodes.
Of games. Yeah.
And winter was officially
announced
in the end episode. So, even though it had snowed for like the last 6 episodes, you know, but it, you know, winter was there.
Did we ever meet the snow monsters or whatever?
Not yet.
The
White Walkers. Yeah. You see them, and they actually had a battle with them last season, and you see a couple of them this season.
Okay.
But that's, I think that battle is actually for 2 seasons from now.
Oh.
or the last season is where you're going to see the battle with the White Walkers.
Okay.
Here we had the Battle of the Bastards, which was Jon Snow and Ramsay Bolton.
It was amazing.
Which was actually the name of the episode, The Battle of the Bastards.
That's wholesome, yeah.
Well,
they were both bastards.
So.
Yeah.
They call them like they see them.
They call them like they see them. It was actually, I have to say, for a battle episode, if you want really great cinematography in a battle scene, that episode was excellent.
It was like movie quality.
It was very much
And it was shot quality. On the ground, so it's like you'd see this battle going on, and it was happening at eye level, like with you felt a part of it.
Yeah.
And
that would stress Matt out.
It
stressed you out, period.
It was supposed to stress you out.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I wouldn't be watching. I'd be like this. That's why
you knew the outcome was going to be, but they, considering you knew how it was going to end, you knew Ramsay Bolton was going to die. You knew there was just no possible way they were going to keep this asshole living. But the way they did it, it was still very suspenseful and very exciting.
Incredibly suspenseful, because the main character's downfall almost came from being trampled to death.
Yeah,
because people were trying to escape this like circle of
not
soldiers, and it's like,
not
is
horses,
this the way it's going
to
end?
Actual men, like you know, trying to get out, trampling him, and he was being buried,
and not intentionally.
Bodies.
It just.
Well, you guys know me. I get way too much into TV, and then I'm still thinking everything's real. I get totally absorbed.
No,
in
yeah,
that.
I'm like you.
I can't watch that.
I talk all through TV shows. I'm just like,
people
are like, shut up.
This was an incredibly well done episode. And of course,
incredibly satisfying.
Yeah, incredibly satisifying.
Okay.
Ramsay Bolton was a complete. Because
he was
such a
super sociopath,
bastard.
Psychopath.
He was incredibly sadistic.
So to see this character have his downfall, which had been you've been waiting seasons for,
a true
was
bastard.
Incredibly
stood
satisfying.
Up and
was a true
and,
bastard.
And then triumph. And the cool thing about it was that he's had these like ravenous dogs
that he
all these seasons that he has people killed by them and stuff like that, because he'll starve them. And so at the beginning of this episode, he starved his dogs because he wanted to...
No.
Well, they don't look like Cavalier King Charles Spaniels or whatever, so you kind of like...
Yeah,
you're like,
they're
not cute
they're
puppies.
They're obviously...
Not nice. And they're not real dogs. But, yeah, so he'd starve these dogs because he was like, oh, the defeat is mine. Jon Snow doesn't have enough soldiers. To then at the end... He was fed to his dogs.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
Wow.
While he was still alive.
Yeah. Sansa kind of
nauseating
his wife.
It was it was so good. I'm telling you, it was, I know it sounds gross to be like
that was so yay! Good,
but no, it really.
And that was just the second to the last episode we had.
The second to last episode is always really good.
It's always
though.
Really good. But the last episode,
what do they do to top that?
They generally
feed to the cats. It takes a little bit longer, but
generally they don't try and
parakeet peck them to death. Yeah.
But you actually had a pretty good episode for the last one because
I thought you were about to say it was actually parakeets. I was like, this is amazing.
Cersei blew the shit out of King's Landing, killed the queen and the queen's family and the High Sparrow. Everyone who's watching the show knows what that means. But yeah, just blew the shit out of King's Landing. And then her son Tommen, who is king at the time, just kind of nosedived off of his balcony because he couldn't take it anymore. He was so upset
by the explosion he saw that he just ended up jumping out a window and killing himself.
So,
which was completely her thing, was she wanted to keep her son alive.
I can barely hear about this. There's no way I could watch this.
This, this show is not for the faint-hearted. No, it's not. Don't get attached to characters in Game of Thrones. Don't, because Martin likes to kill them.
Seems like that is the trend. Everybody dies.
But so King's Landing got blown to shit. Cersei took the crown. Dany finally got interesting. And actually got an army behind her, and
she dumped the hottest piece on the show, though.
Yeah, she did, yeah.
Who's Dany?
The blonde.
Khaleesi,
the dragon tamer or whatever?
Yeah, exactly.
So, did the eggs hatch?
Oh, yeah.
She's got three
full-blown dragons.
I watched a little bit of the first,
the CGI on this, it's like a movie. It's that good.
Yeah, they got some really quality CGI, particularly with the dragons. Yeah. So, next season, it's going to be Dany fighting whoever.
She's on her way to Westeros to take the Iron Throne, finally, all these years later. And she's got the backing of some very big hitters.
And the Iron Throne is the Game of
Thrones. The throne
exactly.
That,
that you always see.
In King's Landing, which is now
under Cersei's control.
Yeah.
But not for long.
The one that blew up King's Landing.
But nobody likes her, so.
Even Amy, her brother/lover.
Yeah.
Her brother slash lover.
That she had.
Is that all the way from the pilot?
Yeah.
Wow, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're still in love.
That disturbed me quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta get used to it, honestly.
No, I do not.
Well, but it doesn't help.
I do not at all.
It doesn't hurt that you know it's a TV show and that these people are not actually related.
Twins.
Again, TV shows and books, I totally...
But even Jamie's had a bit too much of Cersei at this point. So.
Yeah.
So next season, we get two shortened seasons. We get next season, which will be Dany fighting for the throne of Westeros against who... I don't know who's left.
How many episodes? Six?
There's going to be, I think, eight episodes next season, and then the last season will be seven.
It's like a British. Yeah. Okay.
So,
things are starting that people are... Because, like, the whole thing is the show has been all of these characters sort of operating on these separate points in the story and never really interacting. Like, you have a bunch of interaction when the show first begins, and then everybody's off in their separate place. And now everybody's coming back together again. So,
and can I just say, Lyanna Mormont is the bestest damn character ever. She's like 10 years old. She's ruler of her house, and she just does
she's
not
a
take
plucky
any
little
shit.
Girl for sure.
I think I see a lot of those memes on Facebook with her because I'm like, why is this kid on a horse?
She's pretty cool. Just my one thing to you is, since you watch it, I've been reading a lot that they are pushing Jon Snow and Dany to get married, which they're like aunt and nephew,
by
the way.
Yeah, at this point, they're aunt and nephew. I don't think they can.
But he doesn't know that.
Brother and sister.
Well, yeah, but they're not legally married. That's clandestine. Supposedly. Everybody knows about it. I don't think they're going to do that, frankly. I don't think they're going
to
do that.
I don't want her with anyone. I'm bored with her still.
I'm still, she's got kind of interesting... But, yeah, frankly, I'm more interested in Jon Snow's story than her story.
I agree. He's now the King of the North.
Yeah. Mm. So. Thank you, Lyanna Mormont.
Yeah.
So what's
it? It was really good. I'm like, just like every season when it ends, you're like, I want more! Yeah, and it's a year later.
Shit, like a whole year.
That's rough.
Yeah. A whole year. So that's rough. Game of Thrones. speaking of Ramsay Bolton, who got his face ate off. Some dogs.
Ouch.
I started watching Misfits, which is a British TV show that actually stars Ewan Rheon.
We watched the first season.
Yeah, who played Ramsay Bolton. He plays Simon, who's the invisible guy.
Oh, yes. So I had him watch the first season with us, and we've watched the first episode of the second.
Yeah,
so
I'm like halfway through the second
season. So let's not talk beyond that.
Okay, so we can. Misfits, it's an older show, but the entirety of it is now on Hulu, so you can watch the entire run.
Yes.
It's a British show about a group of juvenile delinquents who are in this strange thunderstorm.
Okay. Doing community service together.
Yeah, and they get strange powers afterwards. Nathan, who is the cocky asshole leader of the group, kind of leader, sort of. I don't actually want to say what his powers are because
he's constantly upset because he doesn't seem to have powers.
Right, and he can't figure out what his powers are. Simon, who is the introvert, very quiet one, can become invisible.
Yes.
Then you have Nancy, who is the chav.
No, Kelly.
Oh, is that Kelly? Okay.
Yeah.
Kelly
is the chav.
Nancy's the actress. She is telepath.
Right.
And then Aisha is the one that you can't touch her or you want to have sex with her.
In a violent way.
In a violent way.
Yes. And then
there's the runner.
Right. I think what's really interesting about the five characters is that each character seems to have, well, except for Nathan doesn't know, but each other character seems to be an enhancement of something that's already part of them,
yeah.
The girl who is very sexual is all of a sudden, it kind of turns against her so that she can't be touched. And so if she wants something besides sex, she has to find out a way to do it without touching that person. She wants a relationship. And then Simon, who always felt he was invisible, indeed becomes invisible. The one that is always racing, the runner, he runs so fast that he actually can reverse time, but it's all connected to his emotions. So there's been a couple episodes where he tries to make it right and he ends up redoing it like 3 or 4 or 5 times trying to make it better. And it's like, at one point, he's trying to break up with this girl, and he's like, I've broken up with her 6 times already. I can't take it anymore.
So. And there's a scene where he'll try one excuse to break up with her, and if she cries, it goes backwards. And then he'll try another excuse, and she cries, and it goes backwards. And it's just over and over until finally he hits something where she just gets angry and leaves. And it's like, I did it. I finally did it. I broke up with her.
Yeah, first he starts running after. He's like, wait, she's not crying. So.
It's done.
Yeah. And then Kelly, she just seems to, she's one of these street savvy people. And so the fact that all of a sudden she can hear what people are thinking, it was interesting. But I really like the characters.
So do I. Yeah, and that's why I'm sticking with the show. It's British quality. There's not a whole lot of special effects are really great special effects. It's not like Doctor Who or something like that.
Yeah, it's all character-based.
It's all character-based, and I really like the characters. Even Nathan, who's a complete
asshole. What's upset us is when you go to Hulu, the 5 people pictured are not the 5 people from season 1 or season 2.
Oh, from on the picture.
Yeah.
The flash.
Yeah, they actually flashed their flash.
Because you know that these people that you're really starting to care about evidently don't make it through all 5 seasons. Oh,
but
I hate that.
I haven't gotten to a point where one of the 5 isn't there anymore.
Yeah.
So,
Kind of, yeah. But yes, so that'll be fun.
It's a really good show, and I guess it was 2009, season 1.
Yeah, it's
the music is just effing incredible.
I love the music. I actually went through and started perfectly. Down. I was Shazamming.
I love the way the British do an intro because all of a sudden, like, the music's really going along and then all of a sudden it just kind of stops and they're like, what are you doing? And they're right into the scene and you're like, wait, the music, I have to come back now.
I recommend it and I'm going to continue watching it and we can talk about that more.
I also like the graphics of the intro because it tells things about the people. If you pay attention, you find out stuff. Yeah. So
their shadow for each of the characters does something that kind of relates to their power.
And it is nice to see, after watching so much Game of Thrones, it's nice to see Ewan Rheon in a nice character, even though he's still kind of creepy. He's a nice character. You got so much Ramsay Bolton that you hated him. I'm surprised.
Nobody liked him. It's not like
I'm surprised.
Oh, he's an anti-hero that you root for. No.
No.
He's the villain.
No.
He was the villain.
Speaking of characters that you don't necessarily root for, former Draco Malfoy, Tom Felton, is been announced as joining Flash season 3. So, you know.
What's his character?
Yes, he's Julian Dorn. He's joining as part of the CSI team.
Okay.
And at Barry Allen's work, and he thinks that there's something more to Barry Allen than what meets the eye, as always is. But, you know, one thing I have to say, if Barry Allen would just keep his hoodie up, we wouldn't have these problems. It's just me.
Barry Allen the Flash?
Yes. So. He's constantly taking his hoodie off, and then people walk in, and they're like,
you're the Flash.
Like, who in this city doesn't know you're the Flash? This is what I want to know.
What's even
funnier? Do you just, like, run around really fast all the newspapers and pull them off the stand before people see it, you know?
And his friends do him no favors because they'll walk into him and go, hey, Barry, when he's dressed as the
Flash.
And it's like,
Flash.
You're like, what the hey, man? And it's like, it's happened so many times, and I'm like, yeah. I think you should just go public and be like, I am the Flash, yes.
But the good news is if you haven't been watching The Flash or any of the CW shows, it's now been announced that they're all going to be coming to Netflix. So
yeah.
I just wish they'd come to Netflix quicker.
Well, I think they're talking about that, aren't they?
So what's going to happen is,
because it's not going to Hulu. It's bypassing it, so it'll allow it to go faster.
So basically, when a season ends, within 8 days, that whole season will be on.
Will be on.
So you're still a little bit behind, but
yeah,
it's not as much as it used to be. So
it's better.
Yeah, because they used to wait till the Blu-ray would be released, which is usually right before
the next season starts. Yes, so yeah, so it's a little bit quicker. That'll be nice. I don't like the fact that Hulu, unless it's a series that's basically ended and they're putting the whole thing on, similar to Misfits, they'll chop it. You'll only get like 5 episodes on there.
Yes,
at a time. Yeah.
At a time. So if you miss the first episode and you're behind, you're still behind.
That was one of the challenges to me when I signed up and said yes, I'll speak on panels at different conventions. I was like, oh, the only options you had is with these quick clips where they'll give you like a mini-sode of it, and I was like, I think there's too much nuance, especially in a lot of these superhero shows, where there's things you need to have seen or else you won't get it later on.
Yeah.
So, or if they Minnesota it, then all of a sudden things that you weren't paying attention to become very clear and you're like, oh, it kind of spoils it. So what else have you been watching? It's kind of season's over. So now it's all the filler stuff that we've got to figure out. Whereas for me, it's catch up. But
yeah, for me, it was find another show because Game of Thrones is done. And I finished, you know, the season of Gotham. Mm. And there really wasn't anything else. So I turned on Silicon Valley because I had heard good things about it. And I binged watched 3 seasons of this show in just like a week and a half.
Wow.
It was so good. I really loved the show. It's about a startup company in Silicon Valley called Pied Piper. And the group of programmers that...
And their emblem that looks like a guy with a dick behind his ear holding a dick.
Holding a big dick.
Really?
Yeah, and there's murals, and it's just bad.
The mural's the best.
I love the show. I really love this show. The
show's fantastic.
The actors are great. The characters, even the snarky assholes, Guilfoyle. I just love him.
Yep.
It's a snarky statement.
And some of our friends who work in the industry are like, it's very,
very true. You got a guy who came up with a compression algorithm that compresses files down very, very quickly. And this is actually a very useful tool. And, you know, he turns down $10 million from Hooli, which is kind of the Google equivalent of
the
show.
Although Google does exist.
Does exist on the show. But he turns down $10 million to keep his own company, and it's just basically him trying to keep his own company and actually make, you know, some money. Which
just when he catches a break, he doesn't catch a break. Always. It's an up and down.
Yeah, and it's actually, business-wise, it's actually seems very true how things happen in this world. And, yeah, making outrageous sums of money for a simple coding program. Because you can do something nifty with it, but I really like the characters, and I, you know,
you would really like that show.
I think it's the actor. I can't remember his name, but he's got the beard.
T.J. Miller.
Yeah,
he was in Daredevil. He played the bartender in Daredevil.
Oh, Deadpool.
Deadpool, yes.
He used to be on the same call, Carpool, and it was this outrageous character. And that's where I found him. And then also, he's done some other stuff.
He was in Cloverfield. He was the guy holding the camera in Cloverfield.
But I love that guy. He's so funny.
And he's a jerk in this one.
Okay.
But you still like him. He's just this stoner jerk. He actually owns the house where the incubator is, where he has a bunch of programmers living with him. They don't pay rent. What he gets is 10% of anything they sell.
Ooh.
So he's basically
better than rent.
Yeah.
Okay. So if it hits,
if it hits, yes, like Pied Piper did. If it doesn't,
On the other hand, I binge watched Orange is the New Black, seasons 2 and 3, and that I got through those. Season 4, I've hit episode 6, and I can't bring myself to watch the last 7 episodes.
Is it because the story took a downturn, or is... Now, I've heard... I don't watch the show, quite frankly. Right. I read the book, and I found the characters to be very annoying to me. So I was like, I don't want to watch a television show.
It's just gotten so dark. I mean, it's prison, right? So, yes, there's going to be darkness. But it's just gotten so dark and so depressing. I just... I don't feel like I've got a happy place after that. I can watch, like, one episode at a time. Where before I could watch, like... Daredevil and go to Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt or something. I am now like mainstreaming, mainlining Fixer Upper to try to get, and I haven't watched Orange is the New Black in a week, and I'm still like, I need to watch Fixer Upper and be happy again. So
Fixer Upper will suck you in.
What?
Fixer Upper will suck you in though.
It will. Totally. You know, it's, but they, again, it's a couple that like cares about each other and they got kids and
they're so cute.
They're so adorable. So, you know, but yeah, I know that there's a death scene at the end, just kind of like there's a death scene at the end of Game of Thrones. And I've been fortunate enough to avoid who it was that dies, but I just like, there's a part of me that's just like, no, this is not good. And there were some things too, was a little, as depressing as it was, it didn't seem realistic to me. Like, there's a scene where the main character, who was the original main character, she thinks she's a badass. She's not, but she thinks she is, because she's done some pretty...
But I think that's, like, the humor of the show, is that she's delusional, and she always has been.
Did you watch all of 4?
Not all of it.
Okay.
Kind of where you are.
But, yeah. But there's the scene where, you know... this group that she's pissed off gets her, and rather than beating her up, they're like, they do something else, and it's like, it's not,
I can't watch that
stuff. And it's just like, no, why do I want to watch that? I'm done. So it's kind of disappointing to me, because I'm a kind of a completist, but I'm like, I can't do it.
And I really like Lori Petty. I watched a few episodes.
I do.
But she gets me way into it, so I can't watch her.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Because she's so believable, I just can't watch her.
There are some great acting performances on it, and that's why I can't watch it.
Yeah, I love Lori Petty. She was actually on one episode of Gotham this past season, and
I
really wish they'd bring her character back.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I want to cosplay it, for one thing. But she's this nightclub owner that has a lot of Joker-esque qualities to her costume.
Yeah.
But she's not the Joker.
That's interesting.
That was interesting, and I really wish... I hope they bring that character back. She was just on one episode. But.
Speaking of the Joker, I don't know if you guys saw, but the geeks are getting together for Batman the Killing Joke in August. July. August. September is Labyrinth.
July 25th. Monday.
It's a Monday night. Yeah. We're going to the one in Concord Mills because it's close to the Geek Gala headquarters. It's also playing at Stonecrest.
I will probably go to Stonecrest because that's closer to
which Carol makes Cass sense. Headquarters. Yes, but you know, just be aware of that. And it's Mark Hamill's voice, who you may know from The Flash,
and it's
as well as Star Wars.
Kevin Conroy does Batman, so they've got the animated series.
Yeah. And it is animated. But.
So, yeah.
All right, so you saw a bunch of movies.
I'm going to do a brief rundown here.
Okay.
Neon Demon, which you probably can't see in Charlotte anymore because it came and it went very, very quickly. I'm giving this one about a C. I wanted to like it a whole lot more than I did. I loved the soundtrack. I liked the kind of highly stylized 80s feel to the movie. it's just, it's about a modeling, the modeling industry. Ella Fanning plays this young Midwestern girl who goes to California to make it as a model, and she does because she's Ella Fanning, and look at how she looks. But the movie ended up being kind of as shallow, and there's not a whole lot to it, kind of like the characters, and I think that's deliberate. The ending is really graphic, and I really dug the ending. I just wish the rest of the movie kind of lived up to that ending. So I give that one a C.
Okay.
The Shallows.
Blake Lively.
God, Blake Lively in a bikini. That's about the only thing I can say about this movie. It is stupid. Her character is stupid. It has, like, the worst ending to a shark movie since Jaws 3.
That's saying something.
It's not as dumb as Jaws 4, but this movie's dumb. This movie is really... this character... The smartest thing about this movie is that she befriends this injured seagull and names him Steven Seagull. And and then I'm thinking about it, thinking, no, I think there was an animated movie a few years back that had a seagull that was named Steven Seagull. So I don't even think that's smart or original. No, you can avoid The Shallows. It was as shallow
as the name. Okay.
It's as shallow as the name.
Finding Dory.
This, if you liked Finding Nemo, you'll like Finding Dory. I love this one. This was a good A- for me. Interesting movie. There's no antagonist. There's no bad guy.
Yeah.
Kind of like Finding Nemo. The situation is the bad guy. Nothing's stopping Dory from finding her parents, just for her lack of memory. So nobody's stopping her. And I loved Hank the septopus, because he's missing an arm, so he's a septopus, not an octopus.
Aww.
And the,
aww, that's awesome.
And the animation on Hank is incredible. As someone who's kind of fascinated with octopi, watching him move on the screen animated was amazing. So
it took them forever to come up with that, I heard.
Yeah.
To get the effects
for him correct. And
well, because octopus don't normally let you put the little dots on.
No, they don't do motion capture real well.
Yeah.
No.
Those beaks can hurt you. Yeah.
So if you liked Finding Nemo, you'll like Finding Dory. It's a beautiful animated film. So I really liked it.
Next one was good, please.
I'm giving Swiss Army Man a B+.
Oh.
I'd give it an A-, except the fart jokes got a little too over the top.
So, for those who aren't aware, Swiss Army Man is about a man who's trapped on an island, and a corpse played by Daniel Radcliffe, aka Harry Potter, washes up on shore.
Yes, and he basically becomes his best friend / Swiss Army knife because he's
his Wilson to Castaway.
Exactly. Yeah. Paul Dano plays the stranded man. It's basically a two-person show right up until the end. All things considered, if you get past the fart jokes, this is an incredibly sweet movie about loneliness. And I liked it. The fart jokes got a little bit over the top. But all said and done, I do recommend it. And I think it's an engaging film. I really liked it.
Good. It's a movie I want to like, so I want to see that one.
Okay. It is not what you think, though. It tends to kind of...
Good.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah.
So there's a brief rundown of movies.
Woohoo! Of course, if you haven't listened to our little 12-minute broadcast on MST3K, the reunion, as well as The Legend of Tarzan, go look that up. Yes. All right, so what else is going on in the world? Sad news today, but we will... let's get that out of the way so we don't have to deal with that later. Unfortunately, Lois Lane, the actress Noelle Neal, passed away. However, she passed away at 95.
Wow.
So if you're going to pass away around then.
This was kind of sad because at the Mystery Science Theater 3 reunion, reunion show, they actually did one of the old Superman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shorts, and she was Lois Lane in that one. So.
As she always is.
Yeah.
She was just such a smart character.
Yeah.
Like,
she's not the dingbat that Lois Lane usually is kind of portrayed as. I don't know. She just seemed very with it. But 95, hey, that's a damn good age to me, too. So, Joey Chestnut, oh my god, is this like the hot dog eating guy?
Yes, the Nathan's Hot Dog. They do it every July 4th. And he reclaimed the title. I guess he lost it last year. 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Hence why he needs to reclaim
it. Wow.
Do you know what they do, though? They
they dip them in like water
so they can digest more easily.
That's disgusting. What? No. No.
What does he get for that? What's his
prestige?
There you go.
The title.
Yeah, the
diarrhea.
Is
it given? Yeah.
A guy eating hot dogs.
Yeah, I'm gonna be like, stay out of my bathroom, buddy. So.
For a month, yeah. Oh, I can't imagine.
I feel like gay guys might be like, yeah. No, like, he knows how to put some shit down his throat.
That's what I was thinking too.
He's gonna operate a glory hole or something.
Oh, sorry. I can be 70 now.
Speaking of sucking dicks, 10 million Android devices infected by the humming bad.
So this is like a hummingbird. It's a malware that first came out in February. Basically, it has four different ways that it tries to infiltrate your data. Every time you boot up your computer, it checks to see if it can somehow register in your registry and give itself administrative privileges to override things. Mm. If it doesn't do that, it also has like some pop-up information. So that it says
nasty.
It says system update, and then you accept it, and it allows it to do that. But basically, it's generating over $300,000 per month in false revenue by infecting these computers. So
it's a good thing I have an iPhone.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Android. And on a happy note, Probe Juno has entered the orbit around Jupiter.
Yay!
Science and stuff.
Science and stuff. And if you didn't get a chance, it was on Google today. It's a little mini app, but you can go look up past apps and see what it did.
Oh, one more planetary update.
Yes, please, planetary.
I love the planet Mars, and there was something I just noticed in the feed. Yeah, they found an element. I can't remember the name of it, but they found it. Something like that. But they found it on Mars, and it basically indicates that there was abundant oxygen in Mars' past, which they've not been able to prove before. Although they are finding like ice crystals and stuff underneath the surface. So Mars could look very similar to what we look like right now. And then something happened, and they lost their atmosphere. But
then aliens showed up.
Speaking of Mars, Svengoolie had Abbott and Costello go to Mars on TV the other day.
That's science.
It's science. They didn't go to Mars, though. Spoiler alert. They end up in Venus. After first landing in, like, a Brazilian bazaar. But anyway.
Were there women there?
Yes.
Of course it's Venus.
Okay. It's Venus.
That's what I was hoping to...
Women and lots of clear acrylic, like, outfits.
Okay, then.
Wow, all right.
You know, like the little neck pieces, or like those little rain umbrellas we used to have as kids that were clear.
Oh, I got you.
Because that's what they wear on Venus. That really helps with the cyanide atmosphere.
Yes, I think so. Well, you know, it keeps it from filtering up to your face. I don't know.
That's pleasant.
So, coming up, you're going to be at Congregate, Carol. I heard
Congregate
the name.
Next weekend.
I won't be
15th,
there with 16th, you,
and 17th.
But okay. But you come to the room party and you'll have our little Geek Gala stuff in your bags. Check us out.
Woo. And I may do a rogue podcast there while I'm there to talk to some
authors. Yeah,
that would be awesome, possum. And then what else is coming up? We have the Summer Charlotte Comic Con. August 7th.
Oh.
We will be there for that.
How about the return of the board game night? It's
return
been
board
months.
Game night. Yeah, in fact, there is an article that went up on Charlotte Geeks today.
Whoa.
That gives you a list of all the activities. And, of course, you can always find that on meetup.com as well.
Nice.
And lots of super secret planning going on. Not so super secret. I've been telling everybody on. But for the Geek Gala for this year, 42 hours of epic geekiness. So make sure to check that out. Jessica, thank you so much for being on here.
Yes.
So if you're looking for a medium, not a plus size like myself, please make sure to check her out. And her website is yourspiritualpathfinder.com. Again, spoiler alert, not the part of the Pathfinder Society, but yourspiritualpathfinder.com. So do not confuse the board game mention with the spiritual pathfinder mention. So,
will you play with me?
Well, thank you so much for coming and being on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Okay. And with that, Carol, press that magic button.
Thank you for listening.
First try.
For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery. And on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Pocket Lounge, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Pilstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International. Do, 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 do.